Good morning, listeners, and welcome to this week's Ag Report. I'm Jim Finn. My guests this week are Alice Doyle, who is the farm, family and social chairperson with the IFA. I also have with me for the second week in a row Kerry Gardner from On Board Bia, and Kerry is talking about all those lovely gardens that you will see if you go to Bloom 2023. And my final guest this morning will be Baden Pohl, who is the chairperson of the IFA in North Tipperary. My first guest this morning is John Conroy, and John is an agricultural advisor with Chagas in the NINA office. Good morning, John.
Morning, Jim. How's things?
Very well, John. Thanks very much. Good to have you on. Now, you haven't been on with me before. Will you just tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, no bother. Sure. I'm from outside the town of Bertumna there, kind of in the Aircourt direction. And I recently moved to NINA there, the office of NINA there in January. I've come from Middleton and Cork there. I was there for a year and a half and a couple of other Chagas locations prior to that. So I'm hoping to... I'm happy to be back close to home there in NINA, so
right.
Let's be on.
That's very important. It's great to be close to home. Matt Murphy, he's down in Clonmel, and he's near home as well. He's a Thurles man, so it isn't too bad. Okay,
nope.
Look, we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to be talking about grassland management. It's been a tough year so far for farmers in terms of grassland management. But what is the current state of play with grass, John?
Yeah, it's been tough, all right. Now, I suppose we were off to a flying start there in January. It was very easy to, I suppose, get cows out that time and graze out paddocks well. And it was nearly going too well. And then obviously things changed in March and April and got wet. And it was hard to get cows out and allocate grass. So it was tough going there for a while. But at the same time, growth rates still remain fairly good. At the minute now, we're at a state there where kind of there's probably too much grass on farms, and there's some farmers out there that, and they're probably going in grazing covers of grass that are probably a bit too strong, a bit too high there. Kind of, we're talking about kind of covers of 1600 plus, and I suppose anyone that's kind of grazing these, they've kind of seen it. I know it was hard to mow paddocks up to now, but there was poor graze out there, and if that's something we're going to be at, it's going to be kind of lead to poor grass quality in the next round of that. So I suppose the disimprovement of weather we have this week now is, I suppose, farmers should take every opportunity to mow these stronger covers and go back to more ideal pre-grazing covers of 1400, 1500 for that.
Yeah, John, should some farmers be thinking maybe of, wrapping some of the paddocks that are gone a bit strong?
Yeah, so I suppose it's very important there now to go and actually walk the farm there and walk each paddock, and I suppose identify these paddocks that are gone too strong there. And we're heading into a time of year there now where, we're starting to see the stem and seed head. So these are ones now that probably should be baled up, and surface bales, as you say, Jim.
Yeah, okay. Now, and then what can farmers do over the next couple of weeks to stay on top of high-quality grass so that they have high-quality grass for, particularly in the dairy herd at the moment?
Exactly, yeah. So it's kind of touching on there. So I suppose the most important thing that a farmer can do is get out and walk that farm. But I suppose growth rates we're kind of seeing now, they're after jumping a bit there in the last week. I've had discussion groups there in the last week, and some farmers are seeing growth rates of over 100 already. So it's probably important that farmers need to go out and walk the farm every 5 days rather than every week. So that we're kind of getting on top of these surpluses early so they can be taken out as surplus bales. I suppose figures aren't there. I suppose we're kind of looking to set a demand there of kgs of dry matter per hectare of roughly 60 to 65, which then means a kind of a stocking rate there of 4 to 4.2 cows per hectare during the next month there. And that stocking rate kind of allows us there that we're matching growth rate, but obviously we're also kind of at a stocking rate there that we can't afford to take out bales and that we're not kind of pushing the thing too tight,
And John, would some of the reasons for the explosion in grass growth, would that be down to the nitrogen kicked in late?
Most farmers talk now, they were up to date on the nitrogen applications. But I suppose really, obviously the moisture was there now. We've had plenty of rain now, but they actually match now with a burst of heat now. So yeah. And then combined with farmers being up to date with their nitrogen applications, yeah, that has really driven on the growth. Exactly, yeah.
Rightio. Now, of course, moving on to more modern types of farming, a lot of farmers have started to incorporate clover into their swards. The swards mostly up to now would have been mixtures of various types of ryegrass. What kind of management is required to allow the clover to establish?
Yeah, I suppose we're talking about clover there as a modern technology, but I suppose clover's around a long time. I suppose we're trying to, I suppose, make better use of it now, I suppose, with changes to nitrogen allowance and that. But yeah, in fairness, a lot of farmers have increased the level of clover that they've included in their seed mixes and their seeding. And even some farmers this year have tried out oversowing of clover, I suppose, with the conditions being suitable. You know, we've had moisture there and heat, so they have taken advantage of that. But I suppose the most important thing with these kind of new reseeds or oversowing is kind of grazing management. So we kind of want to, clover loves light.
Yeah.
The important thing is to be graze these paddocks at lower covers than normal. So we're talking, showing a new reseed, the first time grazed, that's in between 600 and 1,000. And for oversowing, we don't want covers going over 1,000. So we want to give clover a chance to establish there. So just get plenty of light down to it.
That's the way you'd manage the clovers. Now, clover, of course, you know, the grasses are there before the clover. Clover would be a late arrival as far as a commodity that you would be able to feed cattle to.
Yeah, so I suppose the main difference between grass and clover, grass usually can start growing in springtime at soil temperatures above 5 degrees.
Yeah.
And clover doesn't really start going until above 10 degrees. So like, it's only from now on, really, that clover is going to start doing its job, like, so it's kind of, it has to kind of mind it up to now, I suppose.
Fertilizer is going to play a big role in the performance of grass, say, for next couple of months anyway. So
yep.
What should farmers be doing with regard to fertilizers on ordinary grass swards, but also on clover swards?
Yeah, well, I suppose on grass swards there, or normal grass with lower clover content there, I suppose we're kind of looking at 20 units there per rotation. I know that farmers be saying that's probably a bit back on what's recommended before, but farmers might be aware that their nitrogen allowances were being reduced this year back 10%. So when we're talking maybe a unit per day over the summer, we're probably talking back closer to 3/4 or 2/3 of a unit per day over the summer. And I suppose in terms of clover swards there, so clover requires less nitrogen. But if we're applying the same level of nitrogen on clover swards, it's going to make the clover lazy and it's not going to do its job. So I suppose we'd be looking at going maybe at kind of maybe rates of 13 to 14 units of nitrogen per acre every second rotation rather than every rotation. And I suppose there is certain farmers out there now, they're maybe a bit further down the clover journey, but some of them have excluded nitrogen altogether over the summer months. And they've seen similar growth rates.
Right, okay. And any nitrogens you'd be recommending protected urea, I presume?
Yeah, we always encourage farmers, if it's available in their local merchants or co-ops or whatever, that protected urea is the preferred choice. Not only is it better for the environment and that, but trials down in Moore Park and Johnstone Castle have seen that it actually is growing 10 to 13% more grass there across the year. I suppose it makes sense. And if there's less losses from it, so that extra nitrogen has to be doing a certain job, I suppose.
Now, I know we didn't intend to talk about multi-species swards. I presume they're performing pretty well at the moment anyway.
Yeah, there would be now, in fairness, yeah. And I suppose it's worth mentioning too there that there's a scheme there at the minute now for anyone interest there that probably would cover the cost of seed, you know, €300 a hectare there to put in this multi-species sward. But on some of the farms I've seen there around North Tipperary that have gone there, farmers have been happy there. I know one in particular there, I had a discussion group there a week or two ago. He only put 20 units of nitrogen, chemical nitrogen on the multi-species for the year, and the rest was all watery furry and parlour washing. So, and it grew fairly well, and he was happy with it. So it seems to be doing the business there on some farms anyway.
Well, sure, it's one of the ways forward and going in the future to try to cut down on the use of nitrogen, particularly when it comes to water quality, etc. Well, look at John. Thanks very much for joining us this morning. What would be your takeaway then from this morning?
I suppose if one thing I'd encourage farmers to do out there is maybe when you're walking your paddock there, is maybe identify a paddock maybe that has a higher level of clover content. You know, this time of year, maybe 20-25% clover content. And maybe just try it out. Maybe take a leap of faith maybe and cut back a bit on the nitrogen on that paddock this year and see how it goes. And you know, if it works out, you know, you can move it across more paddocks in the coming years. But maybe just try it out one paddock this year and see how it goes.
Okay, well, look, thanks for that. Very good advice. That listener was John Conroy, and John is in the NINA office. My next guest this morning, listeners, is Alice Doyle from the IFA. During the week, the IFA issued a circular to all their members with regard to using the roads safely and to be safe on their farms during this very, very busy time when silage has started to be cut, and it's going to be cut roughly for the next month, and we really don't want any serious accidents. And Alice is with me to talk about that this morning. Good morning, Alice, and thanks very much.
Good morning, Jim. Now, Alice, how are you?
A very busy time on farms, isn't it?
It absolutely is, Jim. We are run off our feet at the moment. As you know, the silage season has just kicked off, and there's a very narrow window within which farmers can work to get their silage in. It's been wet up to now, so the second the fine weather appeared, the grass has grown, and the farmers are ready to get in on it. Down our part of the country here, certainly they're in on the farms for the last 3 or 4 days, and everywhere you go, you'll come across trailers and harvesters, and they're particularly busy, so which is great, good to see. But at the same time, it brings with it its risks. So we're advising everybody to take care on the roads, particularly farmers. We're saying to them to be particularly careful on the roads with their tractors, their trailers, to be aware that there could be a pedestrian, a car, a cyclist around the bend on the narrow country roads. And we're saying to the motorist, pedestrian and the cyclist to be careful, that you expect that you could meet tractors on the road. Because at this time of the year, the tractors have to be on the road. Most of the year, farmers are working on land, and they're not out on the road. They're working on the farm, or mostly around the farmyard. But at this time of the year, they're drawing grass or silage from out farms. They're drawing it from fields down the road, and they have to be on the road. It's the only way they can get the silage home. So, you know, from both sides, we're saying, take care, be aware, and be patient.
I suppose general public, they are aware that farm machinery can be very wide, and particularly, and it looks twice as wide on a narrow road. But people forget from year to year how wide a harvester is, how wide a mower is, even though it's put into the road mode when it's on the road. So, you know, and you can come around a bend and find, oh my God.
Absolutely. You see, a tractor and a trailer with a silage load behind it is as big as a small lorry, really. Yeah. And, you know, we expect the small lorry on the road, but we don't expect to see this tractor and trailer coming. And the problem with a tractor and trailer is that if a trailer is full of silage, the stopping power is quite a bit less than if you're in a car. So, you know, we're expecting the farmer to be aware of the fact that he's carrying a heavy load behind him. His braking power isn't as good as it would be if you're driving a car. And to a person driving a car, we're saying be aware that that person won't be able to stop as quickly, and to be aware that you might have to pull in very tight into the ditch. And we would say to farmers, you know, you're driving along the road, you have a very wide load, be aware that you could have a build-up of traffic behind you. And if you do have a build-up of traffic behind you, the first time you get an opportunity to pull into a gateway or a widening on the side of the road or whatever, that you pull in and give the traffic a chance to pass, because it's good manners to do it as well. And that extra minute or two to let the traffic pass is good for the person driving the tractor. It's also good for the public, and it gives a rise to a good relationship. And we say to people, you know, who are not farmers, who may be caught behind the tractor, a little bit of patience, you will get the opportunity to pass out. The tractor will pull into a gateway or pull into a yard or down an avenue, and you will get the opportunity to pass, rather than risking, you know, trying to pull out past them and meet something coming on and have a serious consequence.
Okay, so our message this morning to both the drivers of tractors and farm machinery is to be courteous, and the message to the general public, Alice, is to be aware that it's a busy time and you may meet a wide machine, around that corner.
The other thing I would say to farmers too, Jim, just while we're talking, is that to a lot of farmers in their farmyard, that they, a lot of them have contractors coming in who are not familiar with the surrounds of the yard. And to make them very aware of the fact, you know, that there's a work route in, a work route out, and that they stick with that, and to be careful of that, and to make sure that children are not in the yard at this point in time. This is a very dangerous time to have children in the yard. And, you know, children, big machinery, you see a big silage harvester coming in and a big trailer and a big tractor. They want to be in the yard. They want to be part of it. Terribly important that we say to children, no, this is a time you can't be in the yard. And there's a particularly with contractors coming in, because the contractors are not aware of the day-to-day happenings in that particular yard. So it is important to let them know of what your plan is, your work plan is, and how you work around that yard as well. And then, of course, the last thing I would say, please, and I'm not going to say, I'm saying don't use a mobile phone in the tractor. It cannot, unless it's hands-free. The last thing we need is an accident happening as a result of somebody using a mobile phone. And no more than you're allowed to use a mobile phone in a car when driving, you're not allowed to use a mobile phone in a tractor either.
Right, and I presume you have that message even for tractor drivers who are not on the road, but who are...
Oh, absolutely. That's because you can concentrate. You can use your hands-free if you want to, and most tractors now are hands-free. Most new tractors are hands-free. So if you have to do talking, which I can understand, you have to communicate with, you know, people coming on tractors in different areas and all the rest of it. Absolutely no driving and using a mobile phone in your hand. Cannot concentrate and do that.
Yeah, because we all know that fields can be bumpy, or there can be a hump in the field, and you're on the phone, you're not thinking, and next thing you hit that hump. You know, it's very easy to turn one of these trailers.
Oh, very, very easy, and has been known to happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, concentration is needed, full concentration is needed at all times. So we have to say to everybody, just be very careful, abide by the rules, just be patient, be aware. And hopefully we'll have a safe silage season. We don't hear of any accidents during this season. We certainly don't have any fatalities.
Okay, well, that's fine for that. Any other issues on your side as a national chair?
At the moment, Jim, look, we're busy all round on lots of different things, really. We've just come through four very successful inheritance and succession meetings where we over 2,000 people turned up at the four events. Mm-hmm. Got very good advice about planning for inheritance and succession. That has gone very well. We're doing a bit of work around the derelict houses and the vacant houses at the moment. But if it's a derelict house or a vacant house on a farm, and maybe a family member might like to do it up, there's very good grants available at the moment under the Cushconaghy grant scheme.
Yes.
And the SEAI schemes as well. So, like, there's up to 100,000 available. Now, there are terms and conditions, and, you know, we've been talking to the politicians about maybe easing some of those restrictions, particularly the 13 months to do the project. Mm-hmm. We've been talking to them about trying to extend that a little bit because the window is too tight. But, you know, if you have an old farmhouse that has been derelict or has been vacant for a period of time, or a house, you know, on the farm, or even an outhouse on the farm that can be converted into a house, you know, I would say to farmers, seriously consider looking at this grant if you have a son or daughter who wants to come home and maybe live on the farm, or maybe want to come home and live in the farmhouse and you want to downsize and renovate a house to still stay on the farm. So it's part of the succession thing, you know, to look at the fact that you might have an asset on the ground, and 100,000 is not to be seized at. As I said, terms and conditions apply, but it's there and it's well worth looking at.
I believe, and I suppose a little bit away from your field, putting solar panels, that's going ahead, you know, on farm buildings. That seems to have caught on quite a bit, Alice, since you and I spoke last, where, in Gortine last year?
Yes. Oh, there's a huge move on it since then. Mm. Again, because now it qualifies under TAMS. Mm-hmm. There's quite a few people looking at it. There's quite a big push. And I do know from a number of the people in the industry who are out on the ground at the moment that there's quite an interest from people, particularly dairy farmers in particular, who have, you know, the roof space and are in a position to do it. They're quite interested in doing it. And then there's also quite a move around the whole area, even solar on the ground, you know, the solar panels, the solar farms. And there's quite a lot of that development going ahead now at the moment. It doesn't, it's not making the headlines, but there is quite a bit of it going on around the country.
Okay, for this morning then, your big takeaway from our discussion with regard to farm safety and road safety.
Okay, a couple of words. First, be safe, take care, be patient, and be aware. Be aware of the unexpected. Be prepared for the unexpected. And that's the unexpected vehicle on the road, the unexpected pedestrian on the road, or car, or whatever. So to always be aware, be patient, take care, and be safe.
Alice, thank you ever so much for joining us this morning. That listener was Alice Doyle, who is the National Chair of the IFA's Family and Social Affairs National Committee. Listeners, you may remember that I spoke to Kerry Gardner, who is in charge of the show gardens at Bloom this year. And Kerry, I said I would be talking to her about garden this week. And luckily enough, I've caught up with Kerry. She's out in the sun on Wednesday evening in the park, looking at all the things that's happening up there. And now Kerry is going to tell us all about the gardens. Good afternoon, Kerry. And thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Jim, for having me on.
Look at the gardens. The large gardens first, you know, what are they looking like?
Oh, they're looking wonderful, actually. I mean, if you asked me that question this day last week, it was a very different story with all the rain that we had and people digging holes and they filling up with water quicker than they could get plants or trees into them. But at the moment, they really are taking shape and there's some very exciting gardens happening, very special, in fact, gardens coming together. And I'm just looking like out the window here from where I'm sitting right now. I'm looking across at the Fingal County Council garden designed by Jay McCorkle, called A Breathing Space for Fingal. And it's all about the importance of us getting out in nature, among trees, among plants, and the health benefits for that. So even if you don't have your own garden space, this garden is for somebody who, you know, might have to put up to enjoy some green space or their local woods or whatever it might be. But again, it's there's lots of special details in that garden. It's very beautiful. And then there's more of that in the other large categories, because we have Oliver and Liette Sherman from Mount Venus Nursery. And there you have a garden called the First Five Garden of Wonder and Discovery. Mm-hmm. And that's for the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth. And it's, again, it's a garden for under fives. And again, it's telling us about the importance that being outdoors among nature is for under fives. So the garden has been designed for children. So there's a little, say, I don't want to give too much away, but there's
don't
beautiful
give too
willow,
much away, no.
And then, willow structures and willow tunnels, and they're at children's scale, and it'll be, again, children able to wander around that garden a little bit.
Right, okay. And then you have one that you're sponsoring yourselves in Vorbia, the Coastal Garden.
That's right. So that's the Dream Gardens Coastal Garden. That's been designed by James Purdy. Mm-hmm. And these gardens were virtual gardens for our Bloom at Home back in 2021. And so if you go onto the Vorbia Bloom website, you'll be able to download all the information you need to create this garden at home. So all of the planting plans are there, the densities, the layouts, all to scale, all of the planting information that you might need to recreate this. And even if the whole garden isn't something you want to recreate, there's what we call border focuses. So we focused in on a border on each of these dream gardens, the seven dream gardens in total. This is one of that series. And although it's a coastal garden, it would work in numerous different places, because it's the planting palette is quite robust, if you like, and it's a nice simple palette. I think it's actually only about 17 plant varieties in that garden, so it is really one that you can get your head around quite nicely and learn to, you know, maintain those plants. But again, all that information is there, and again, you can come and see it in reality at Bloom. So it's a wonderful asset for people to be able to take it off. And maybe if the border is all they want to do, they can take that. It's about 2 meters by 1 meter, and you could start off with that. And as confidence grows, you could then do a bit more.
Okay, and the last of the large gardens is Embracing the Elements, and that's sponsored by the National Dairy Council, and they've been on this program down through the years. So, and again, they were there last year as well. I remember
They were there last year. Sean Russell had a wonderful garden last year for them, and it was very kind of maybe old world and talking about our farming heritage. And this year, they're really talking about embracing the elements. So basically, our wonderful weather, our very soft days, gives us our lush green grass, and it allows Irish dairy to be quite sustainable because obviously it's grass fed. And again, it's very concept driven. So this idea, these kind of, not to give too much away again, but there's these kind of clouds, if we call them, on the garden in a art form. And again, that's representing the clouds, that is virtual clouds in terms of the technology and how farming is progressing, but also the clouds that give us our rain and how, you know, the importance of that. And again, there'll be lots of tips in terms of, you know, the modern sward with like lots of clover in there again. So I won't go into too much detail. If maybe come and see that for a little bit more information. But that's another very special garden.
Okay, and then we move on to the medium gardens, of which there are 8. We can't talk about the 9th one. We'll be giving away something that's the Super Garden winner. We can't give that
spoiler
away.
Spoiler alert.
We'd spoil everything on Gary and the team. So, what would you pick out of that, Kerry, out of the medium gardens? What catches your eye the most?
I think there's a nice broad brush of gardens in there. We've everything from like very high end polished gardens from like Alan Rudden returning again with Savills, and Kevin Dennis is back this year working with Evoca because they're celebrating 300 years, and they'll be very contemporary modern gardens. And then we're moving over to like Woody's, Brian Burke, is that relatable kind of indoor outdoor connection. And then some very strong messages with the Marie Keating Foundation Garden about catching cancer early. So again, through the garden, they'll be telling the stories about, you know, what we need to do to live healthier, more balanced lives in order, and then be mindful of ourselves in order to catch cancer early. Goal are there again, working with Funday. And again, that's about their global work. So that's looking at across the continents and plants that are grown and how they can be used in food production or material production. And they're linked across then with Irish Willow, which is what representing gold's work and putting everything together. And there's a big focus again, say in children this year, we're seeing it coming through. We'll say Oliver and Lias that I mentioned already in the large, the under fives, but also we have this Rise Garden this year, which has been designed by Eugene Higgins in collaboration with the young people at Oberstown Detention Centre in North County Dublin. And again, there's a lot of artwork and that's very process led. So a lot of this work has been made off site and it's coming in actually in bits and pieces today as we speak. So again, it's again supporting young people. And then another one is the Raising Amazing Garden, which is Tusla Fostering. And that garden is going to demonstrate the you know, the nurture and the love that's so important. So maybe a foster child being in foster care, what a care family can do for fostering. So again, the garden are telling these wonderful stories of these important, strong messages.
Okay, something that caught my eye in those gardens as well, mainly because of the name rather than anything else, and that's Citron, the Power of One. Are we looking at something that might bring us to the cars of the future?
Exactly, and it's actually a front garden. We haven't had one in bloom for a long time, but it's Citroën coming to tell their story about their sustainable production of cars and the future of cars. So it's going to have a little car there called the Ami, which is a 2-seater car, and again, it's all about, you know, a regular car that can plug into a regular plug that you don't need any special equipment or gear, and how Citroën are, I guess, streamlining their production to make cars more sustainable. And taking out the weight of cars, for example, when we're meeting them one day, they're telling us about how cars have gotten so heavy and they're taking that back out again. But again, more importantly, what the designer is doing here is it's although it'll talk about the sustainable car, the garden is all the sustainable messages and maybe how we should be designing our front gardens, how we should be slowing down the rain, getting into the system, how we can have green roofs, we can have rain gardens, we can have recycled materials. And again, Nicola's done a wonderful job and there's quite some great detailing going on site with that, and right down to having habitats in your front garden. So again, it's about the making better use of our front gardens and how you can do that.
Okay, and then the small gardens. Looking at this, you have 6.
Yeah, we might have snuck another one in that list. we have again. They're brilliant. They're a great way to like telling stories or take home for our visitors. Yeah. Like we have this Cultivating Talent program this year, which is where Borbia Blue is supporting a young or new designer to bloom. And we offer mentorship with one of the established designers here. And that year, this is The Next Steps by Joe Hustas. And then we have a bit of fun as well with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Designed by Tom Levy, who has worked on a garden last year, again with Borgosh Energy Theatre, mm-hmm. back again with them. So again, that's about the musical, and that's very fun. And I think that's going to be a talking point over the weekend. And then
Green Cities in again, Europe.
The Green Cities in Europe garden, which is actually a landscape, mm-hmm. and it's been designed by a collaboration really between Dougie MacDonald from Ault Landscaping, Dublin City Council in collaboration with the ALCI, and O'Brien Landscaping is one of the ALCI members. Mm-hmm. That's been sponsored by the EU Green Cities Programme in collaboration with the hardy stock industry. So there's a lot of parties coming together to make that, but ultimately it's about the importance of green spaces in our built environment and the importance of having quality trees, Irish grown quality trees, in our public spaces. So, and again, it's quite interesting. It's a great message. And then we have the National Poison Centre at Beaumont Hospital, mm-hmm. with a garden called the No Act Prevent Garden. And again, that's in association with the Health and Safety Authority. But it's, again, best practice in terms of safety in the garden or in the home. So that one will talk about how we should store products or gardens or our tools and be mindful of children. And also all the plants in that garden will be low toxicity plants. Again, keeping in mind, you know, children, mm-hmm. I think, tend to eat things, especially with shiny berries, mm. in certain times of the year. So again, they're letting us know about what we should put in a positive way, and then also what to do in terms of best practice and keeping everybody safe.
And then we've got a virtual haven
by Dara. And it's the garden is going to be there. He's going to have a VR set next to the garden, so you can put on this VR set and look at the garden virtually as he has designed it. And then the as-built will be right beside us, and you can have a tour virtually, mm-hmm. or then you can put on and then just walk next to it and see what he actually built. So it's like, here's our one I made earlier effectively, and then here's the garden in reality. So that's a little bit interesting as well, and something different that we haven't had before. And then we have the Out of This World.
Designed and self-funded by Joe Kelly. Fair juice.
Yeah, Joe's based in County Waterford. He's actually a pharmacist by day, a self-proclaimed pharmacist by day, a dreamer by night. And this garden is a bit of fun. And I do think people will come to see it. They'll be amused by it. And again, it is out of this world. And let's just say there's creatures from another planet might have landed at Bloom this year. So that's what's happening there. And then we've actually got two balcony gardens. And they may not be on your list, but one is called the Forest Balcony and the other one is Urban Roots Balcony Gardens. So again, we had our first kind of balcony gardens at Bloom last year, and we're bringing them back this year because they were very popular and people want to see what they can do in their very small spaces. So these are two very small balcony gardens, 5 meters by 2 meters. But again, what you can achieve in small spaces and, you know, giving people lots of ideas again. So whether that's a courtyard or a balcony, it can be adapted. But again, what works well when planting at height, because it's always tricky when you're dealing with maybe wind on balconies or, mm-hmm. you know, rain shadows and stuff like that. So again, great information on those gardens as well.
Okay. And you left out my two friends, Ruth and Ken. Okay.
I'll be in big trouble with that, but yeah.
You'll be in big trouble with that, yeah. And
I will.
They have been a feature at Bloom for years. And
they have.
I always have a chat with Ken and Ruth if she's there, okay?
Yeah. So there again, they're up the front and a lot of the sculptures are in already and their trees are in, so that's taking great shape. And as you know, that garden supports about 50 Irish artists from around the country. So it's great. And there's also the student competition that was run this year in association with Currys, who's sponsoring the sculpture garden this year. And they're bringing a wee sculpture made from wee, so electrical waste, effectively. Right, and okay. The sculpture's made out of that. And that's going to be showcased at Bloom. So watch this space for that one.
OK, just to remind my listeners now, Kerry, before I let you go, Bloom is on.
It's open from Thursday the 1st to Monday the 5th of June.
OK, well, look at Kerry. Thanks very much. I look forward to meeting you at Bloom myself. And thanks ever so much for joining us. That listeners was Kerry Gardner, who is the person in charge of the show gardens at Bloom 2023. Listeners, my next guest this morning is Baden Pohl. And as you know, Baden is the chairperson of the IFA in North Tipperary. And he's with me this morning to talk about two things. Good morning, Baden, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jim.
Good to have you back. Now, I believe yesterday you gave some money to the air ambulance. So how did that go?
It went very well, Jim. It's been waiting to happen for a long time. The money was collected last August at the show, and we just haven't been able to match dates to meet up to hand over. And I'm sure next week now the guards will have the photo of us. Right. And it's just acknowledgement for everyone that came for a cup of tea at the tent, the IFA tent, in Nina Show, and gave a contribution. And we hope to build on that next year. But just to say a little bit how important the air ambulance is. It works in two ways. It has a team on the ground that works, you know, with emergency cars and to accidents and even heart-related problems within the county. But within farming, as this is our niche, the helicopter was tasked to 64 farming-related incidences it responded to 69 incidences in County Tipperary.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, it is a valuable service, and, you know, sadly there's too many farm accidents, but this is a help anyway for serious accidents.
Yeah. And Baden, it's the last thing that any farmer wants to see hovering over their farm, because it means there's been a serious accident. And there are places on a lot of farms that it's only a helicopter can get in to take out somebody that's badly injured.
That's right. I remember an incident last year. I happened to be on the phone to our president, Tim Cunanan, at the time. And he was travelling some function, I think maybe in the Horse and Jockey on the Turles Road, and we both saw it, it came over my hill, and he said, Baden, where's, you know, it suddenly causes alert when we see this, and we all get concerned. And that particular instance, I didn't find out what happened.
Yeah.
But you're dead right. It's like, it sends fear when we see that, and it's about the ambulance getting into farms, about the helicopter, but it's also sometimes, you know, people have to move quickly to Cork and places that have been badly injured, you know. I didn't want to just send the check off in the post, so it was nice to give a bit of acknowledgement again.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And well done to everybody who was at the Nina Show last August and contributed to the funds that you raised at that, and I'm quite sure that the air ambulance will definitely put it to good use. Baden, you have an event coming up on Monday next.
I do. So, it's like we're talking into the future now, Jim. But I'm very excited about it, because it's where a lot of counties' executives have gone this direction, and I've been waiting. It didn't happen last year. It's at Joe Egan's of the Rag. We all know it, passing the road. There was Inch House, the restaurant. Joe is a very, from what the mountains going on, he was a very hard-working man. He's a lot of enterprises. And we're going over there Monday evening. We're starting early at 6 o'clock. And Joe has given us a little chat and a tour of basically just even around, it's nearly around the main house there. Yeah, a lot of what we have to see is there. I might go through Joe is a tillage farmer and he grows a lot of range of cereals and different protein crops. He grows patch crops in the autumn, and then he has an enterprise that some people have gone away from now, and he seems to be growing in his fattening store lambs. And that means over 1,000 store lambs, and he's a facility to fatten 1,000 of them indoors. And the novelty that he has is that he diet feeds them. I went over the other evening, he has a fantastic new setup, it looks well, sheep handling facility. I won't go into the cost of it, we can talk about it over there. Joel, tell everyone. It automatically divides different weights, different things. And just even from his batch, delivery batch, foot bats, the lambs and different things, it's great for people to see. And then we move on. He has a rainwater harvesting system of his grain sheds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Joe stores all his grain, dries it, and he sells some to local farmers. And then he has another little side enterprise, which is he has a form of renewable energy. He has a wood chip heater there, which is used to heat Inch House, as we know it. And I think they do, the restaurant is closed, but they do small weddings and gatherings and some Airbnb and things there. So the family as a whole have a lot going on. Yep.
Yeah, they have. And the farm looks extremely well from the road, as we all pass it on the road between Thurles and Nina. And I'm quite sure it will be a very successful evening. Have you any special speaker other than Joe himself?
Yeah, well, Joe is the new grain chair for North Tipperary, which,
yeah,
you know,
okay,
is how it's all married in. Guest speaker is Kieran McAvoy, who is the national grain chair. And he is, I just know they like him. He speaks very basically. He says it as the farmer likes it. And then Max Potterton is on the paid staff of IFA, and the people who came to the first AGMs last year, where we grouped the AGMs, he gave out vital information. He's a very clever chap. He had the world markets well studied. He predicted that the grain price was going to fall, which no one likes to hear, but he told it. And it gave the information to the members that, you know, basically don't be too tough holding on to your grain, because that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see. They'll be very interesting to listen,
yeah,
to. You have a straight talker and you have a very clever individual. So we're going to start at 6 o'clock, and we're going to let Joe show us around. He's around the yard there and around the place. We're not going to do a big farm walk or anything like that, and we'll chat. And then we start our executive meeting at 7 o'clock, and we're going to have a little treat. Joe's kindly going to fire up the barbecue, and we'll have something tasty, yeah.
Right.
Finish with.
So the meeting itself will start roughly around 7 o'clock.
Yeah, but I'd like people to go when Joe's, yeah, kind enough to open his premises.
Oh,
I'd like,
yeah,
to turn up it, and but we're not waiting for anyone either. There's no, we passed the sheep system. I don't want anyone arriving saying, "Hey, can we go back to that?" That's not going to happen. Arriving time is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you want,
yeah,
sorry for cutting across you there. You want people to arrive at 6 o'clock to be ready for Joe's showing you around the farm and telling you about the enterprises that are there. And then you have your meeting. How long roughly will your executive meeting last?
Well, look, to be fair to the, we've set 8:15, but I know that's not going to happen. I say it's going to finish at 8:30. And I would tell people, in case there's a bit of a chill in the evenings, like,
yeah,
there's frost there and at night still, and, you know, just bring a jacket, because it's going to be all outdoors. We're going to be blessed, I think. The forecast is looking good. Just bring a jacket, just so it gets a bit cooler. And if there's anyone elderly, it's all very compact there.
There won't
be much walking involved. Yeah. Young and old alike would love to see them. That's it. I suppose just... Yeah, I don't know if you have time there, Jim. Just a reminder for people, the 29th of the month is now the last day for the single farm payment. It was extended in the middle of May. And don't leave to the last minute, because it's a lot trickier and it's very important with the changes this year. And you probably need unless you're very well up on a computer, you probably need a consultant to do it, be it Chagas or a private consultant. And also, if you had a good single farm payment, I'd be advising you to be ready for a shock as to how much you're losing in the new basic income support scheme.
Of course, yeah, people are going to get a shock. And now I can't think of which of the schemes, but one of the schemes is closing on Monday evening as well.
I'm not sure on that one either now, but you're right.
There is a scheme closing on Monday at 5 o'clock. Can't remember myself off the top of my head what scheme it is, but it's one of the beef schemes. So, again, just we'll make farmers aware to look up the beef schemes and see which of them is closing on Monday, the 22nd of May. Baden, for this morning, we'll leave it there. Thank you ever so much for joining us. That, listeners, was Baden Pohl, the chairperson of the IFA in North Tipperary, telling us about the money they handed over to the Air Ambulance on yesterday, and also telling us about their event on the farm of Joe Egan at Inch House on Monday evening, starting at 6 o'clock. That, listeners, is AgriReport for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show and that you'll join me at the same time next week. Coming up next is the news at 10 o'clock, and after that, Eamon Dwyer presents Down Your Way.